Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, what comes to your mind when I say this word celibacy? I think for many people, it kind of sounds like an old-fashioned, painful discipline relegated to monks and nuns in old black robes. Well, that image needs to change, according to Christine Colone. She is the author of Singled Out, Why Celibacy Must Be Reinvented in Today's Church. She believes that the whole discussion on the single life for adult Christians could do with a makeover. So we're going to be rethinking our ideas, our beliefs, our thoughts on sex, marriage, and celibacy as we continue our series on living the single life well. Christine Colone, welcome to Open House.
Well, thank you very much.
It's nice to have you with us as we continue on what really is a very important subject as we explore this notion of singleness. Now, I want to get to the basics of this book that you've written first. You come from the belief that Christian singles who want to live by the Bible's teaching will actually abstain from sex outside of marriage. That's your starting point. Then what I find really interesting about the book is that you use the term celibacy instead of abstinence, and you do that quite thoughtfully. Why do you do that?
Well, one of the reasons why my co-author and I decided to focus on the term celibacy is that abstinence really conveys this idea of waiting. And there's a sense of, well, if you just wait long enough, you will eventually end up with the perfect marriage and the perfect life. And I think the realities are that many singles may never marry. And so what does that mean when you think about being a Christian single and this desire to refrain from sexual activity outside of marriage, and it becomes just this perpetual waiting? And so we shifted the term to celibacy because celibacy conveys this idea of a vocation, doing something for a higher purpose, that there's a reason for refraining from sex outside of marriage, and it's not just this kind of torturous time that you have to endure. But at the same time, we want to kind of tweak the term celibacy a little bit because we don't want it simply to be associated with monks and nuns and cloisters. Mm-hmm. And so using it to say, we have decided to remain celibate for this period. If that changes in the future, we are open to that. If marriage arrives, that's going to be great. We will then change our state for the married state. But we're not going to spend all of our time focused on obsessing about a spouse.
I like that. I really like the way you've taken that approach because I think that puts it back into the frame of a calling for your life rather than, as you said, this waiting pattern. Now, that kind of takes us into this notion of beliefs about singleness, marriage, sexuality, etc. And I want to explore those because you cover them so well in the book. In particular, let's start with society's ideas. And, of course, the society in which you're writing out of, the United States, would be very, very similar to our society here in terms of its belief about sexuality and things. What common, secular, popular beliefs about sexuality, singleness, marriage, etc., do you think makes it so hard for this notion of celibacy for the single to be lived out?
Well, I think one of the key ideas is that has really permeated society. We can trace it back to Freud and this idea that you need to engage in sexual activity in order to be a complete and whole person. And I really think that that has permeated society, and you really see it throughout popular culture, songs, movies, books. There's always this sense of what you need somebody else to be complete, and that being defined with kind of a sexual partner. And that sense that, that is what makes you fully human. And I think that's a really dangerous idea that really has been embraced by most of society.
There's also, I guess, that's gone kind of hand in hand with that, is this notion that, if you are single, well, you'll certainly be sexually active. I mean, that's just a given, right? That's just a given.
It's a given because stemming from the first idea from Freud is if you want to be healthy, you have to have sex. And that goes for whether you're single or married. And so, yes, the assumption is that, of course, if you're single and once you reach a certain age of maturity, you will engage in sexual activity. It was interesting as we were doing research for the book, discovering all of these self-help articles and papers talking about, what if I wait too long? Is there, am I not going to be attractive? And just that fear that you will end up not having sex.
This is Open House right across the nation. Christine Colone is the co-author of this book, Singled Out, Why Celibacy Must Be Reinvented in Today's Church. We're talking about our ideas, our beliefs about this notion of celibacy and how it goes in many ways against what we so often hear in the popular media. And unfortunately, what you actually hear in church too, or certainly what can be the norm in church. I was actually just talking to a pastor friend the other day who was lamenting how difficult this notion of abstinence before marriage is actually becoming even in his own church, when he's discovering that many of his younger single adults are actually very, very much engaged in sexual activity. And he was saying, what's happened? How have we lost this kind of notion that sex outside of marriage is not to be engaged with? Where have we gone wrong? What's gone wrong there, do you think, in the Western church?
I think several things. It used to be that society backed up the church, and there was a sense that, you know, even in secular society, sex outside of marriage was frowned upon. And when that started to change, the church really needed to come up with a message to counter that. And I think by choosing simply the message of abstinence, which many of the discussions of abstinence that we explored really set up sexual activity in marriage as kind of the holy grail, you know, and it's something that to wait for, but once you get it, it's going to be amazing. And when you set the conversation in those terms, it's really not surprising that many singles realize, wait a second, you know, what if that never comes, and have difficulty with that waiting process and decide, forget that, I'm just going to get the grail now.
That's very interesting what you've raised there. Very, very interesting, which, you know, again, leads us into this notion of what our beliefs in the church, or those of us who are Christians, believe about sexuality and believe about marriage. So let's talk a little bit more about that portrayal of sexuality, of marriage, that you find in the church, and where we might have been falling short there. Okay, number one there, focusing on abstinence rather than celibacy. What else do you think could we re-look at?
I think one of the other issues is oftentimes in response to secular society, there is such a focus on marriage and focus on the family that I think in one respect is important and valuable, but when that is the focus to the exclusion of saying, wait a second, there is a place for people who are single and they are part of the body of Christ as well and they have a valuable place, I think that focus makes it difficult for singles to try and figure out, wait, where do I fit in here? I hear all of this discussion about marriage. I hear all of this discussion about children. Why is no one dealing with my issues of being single? And why don't I feel like I'm connecting with the local church body?
Okay, so we've got these kind of presumptions about marriage and about sexuality. What do you think is a more healthy biblical approach then to looking at sexuality and looking at marriage and looking at singleness?
Well, I think one of the key places that we go in Scripture is to 1 Corinthians 7 and looking at the discussion that goes on there. And there's a lot of debate as far as what Paul is actually talking about, but there are certain places that are very clear. And the message really is, be content in the state into which you've been called. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean don't change that state ever. But that sense of, okay, for this moment, God has called me to be single, and my job is to serve God in that state.
Mm-hmm.
He may call me later on to be married, and my job will be to serve God in that state of marriage. But rather than continually striving, if you are single, to be married and having everything in your life focus upon that, really refocus and say, wait a second, as a Christian, is it really my job to spend all of my energy searching for a spouse, or is it to serve God in the time that he has given me and in the position he has placed me?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess the goal then becomes, rather than finding a spouse, it becomes being content in this season.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that might help is for churches to really start rethinking what we mean when we talk about community. Because oftentimes, if you look at churches, people who are similar tend to group together. Oftentimes that means, you know, the married people with the children have their group, and if you're single, you feel like you can't connect to that. But if you look at Scripture, I think community is so much wider than that, and it's really embracing the people who aren't like you, who you might not have as much in common with, but you have your love for the Lord, and that is the common ground. And I think we really need to start focusing on that a lot more.
Yeah. Christine Colon is the co-author of Singled Out, Why Celibacy Must Be Reinvented in Today's Church. And her notion is that for those who actually believe that sex should be retained and restrained to the marriage bed, you know, the marriage and commitment and covenant, if you want to put it that way, that we need to be thinking more about how can we live as celibate single people in a way that is healthy, in a way that is flourishing, in a way that is celebratory, rather than kind of looking at our singleness as being kind of this holding pattern until we get that holy grail of marriage. Theopenhouse.net.au is the place you'll find the podcast if you want to pass this on maybe to a single friend or somebody who you know who could actually benefit from the conversation. So Christine, I want to move on to this, I guess some practical strategies as to how single folks can embrace this notion of contented celibacy in their lives. But first of all, we've kind of taken as a given that, you know, biblically, sex outside of marriage is not to be encouraged. Why do you think we need to hold on to that as the starting point to all this?
You know, I think that's a really important question to address, because there is that sense of, wait, everything else is changing. Why are we holding to this? I think as I read through Scripture, it is pretty clear to me that God has intended sexual activity to be done solely within marriage, and as part of that covenant. And I do see marriage as a covenant, something that doesn't occur between couples outside of marriage, however committed and faithful they are. And so to me, it seems like God has instituted that within marriage for a purpose. And I think by reframing the idea of sex in terms of sexuality rather than just the focus on the sexual act,
mm-hmm.
I think that's an important thing that we need to do, because if you simply focus on, well, we're sexual beings and so therefore we have to have sex, it would seem obvious that, well, if you're not going to get married, then sex outside of marriage would be perfectly appropriate. But I think our culture is too focused on the act of sex, because for me, sexuality encompasses so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that desire to connect with others, and that desire and that energy that you have to be in community. And I think one thing very practically that singles who wish to remain celibate can do is to think about their sexuality in those terms. How do you connect with others in a way that isn't focused simply on the act of sex?
Mm-hmm.
How do you focus on loving relationships and connection? And what we found in many of the people that we talked to is the problem often stemmed from loneliness and not a lack of sex. And I think in our society, we focus so much on sex as the one connection that we forget all of the other productive connections that we can have with people.
Mm. Okay, give me an example of a way that somebody can live as a sexual being without engaging in sexual activity. You were talking about there, other loving relationships. Give me an example.
I think one of the key things is to, you know, keep in mind we're not talking about celibacy as wear the long black robe and, you know, ignore the fact that you are male or female and just disappear into your cloister. It's an embracing of God made me female, and I relish that fact. I enjoy being a girl, to quote an old song.
That's good.
And so it's that ability to say, yes, I'm female, and I enjoy that, and I enjoy the friendships that I have with men. I enjoy the connection. I enjoy kind of the spark of, you know, having a great conversation, and I have nurturing qualities of, you know, wanting to care for children and wanting to kind of be in relationships in that way, and thinking about, well, how can I use that? I don't have children. I'm not in a marriage. So how do I connect well with the people around me? How do I use those energies? I happen to be a college professor. And so for me, a lot of it is, how do I nurture my students?
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that in appropriate, affirming ways so that I can help them mature in Christ?
Okay, so you're channeling that sexual energy, if you want to put it in that kind of phrase. As we talk, I can't help but think that a good deal of this discussion also comes down to who defines humanity and in what way we actually understand humanity to be. If we actually understand humanity in terms of Freud, as you were saying, well then our whole notion is going to be sexual activity is a thing that I need, and if I don't have it, I'm not going to be fully human, and I'm going to be out of step with society, I'm going to be out of step with my friends, I'm going to be out of step with Clio magazine, with FHM magazine, with everything else like that. Mm-hmm. And yet the Christian perspective on what a human is a completely different concept, that we are actually made in the image of God, and that that is the definition, and that is the goal, actually, to be like him, to follow his pattern of relating, and that includes self-giving love from mm-hmm. one person to another, the kind of things that you've actually just described there with your students.
Yes, and I think that is so important to think about that wider definition of love, that we don't have to simply narrow love down to a sexual relationship. And I think in addition to that, one of the key things that I really learned through writing the book is the value of celibacy as this radical testimony to God's love and provision for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't have that sexual connection with another person, you really have to focus on the fact that our ultimate fulfillment is in God. And I think that's true of everyone, whether you're single or married, mm-hmm. but I think oftentimes those who are married might have a harder time thinking in those terms because they do have a spouse and perhaps they have children and they have that family unit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you were single, you have to grapple with that on perhaps a daily basis. I don't have someone here to fulfill this need right now, I need to depend on God. And I think it really does draw our attention to the fact that that really is the purpose for our relationship with God, to know that he is there and he is our ultimate fulfillment.
Yes. Okay. Well, give me some other points then to help the singles who are part of this conversation to be content in their celibacy, to live this out well. Give me some pointers.
Well, another key issue is not to buy into the lie that we are incomplete without a sexual partner. And that can be difficult when you, you know, go to movies and listen to music and, you know, all of these refrains are going through your mind where you need somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
That's key, to try and, you know, reframe that discussion and say, okay, wait a second. What is problematic about that? You know, not saying that a connection with someone isn't a wonderful thing, and, you know, it is that wonderful, intimate relationship. But at the same time, what does it mean if you're defining that as, well, that's what makes you complete as a human being?
Mm-hmm.
As well, just the ability to be vulnerable when you need to be vulnerable. And that was another thing that I learned through the course of writing this book. I tend to like to be perceived as a very independent person who doesn't need the help of others. And I think that's a dangerous perspective because that compels us to just stay in our little cocoon and not reach out for community. For me, it's a lot easier to think of community as, well, I will help others, but what does it mean to be vulnerable and to show where I need help and to allow people to help me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a key aspect of it as well.
And we have to raise this question as well, is just how to deal with sexual feelings and sexual temptation, indeed sexual drives, when you're a single person who's committed now as a Christian to living the celibate lifestyle until God would bring that season to an end, if he does so at all. How do you live that out practically when you've got these drives, got these, you know, sometimes passions, in what is actually a sexually charged society where everywhere you go, you are in some way being encouraged to act out this kind of stuff?
Yeah, that is a difficulty. And I don't want to kind of diminish the struggles that singles go through with that reality. I think a couple of key things, one being that you can never sequester yourself and keep yourself from all temptation. Our world just doesn't work that way. So it's this question of, okay, when you have those desires, how do you deal with them? And I think one of the productive ways to think about it is that when you have the desires to say, okay, this is occurring, I know why it's occurring, you know, God has made me with these sexual desires,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have to act them out, and it can cause me to recognize, okay, where does God want my focus to be? you know, so trying to work through that and have it point us back to God rather than just following it down that road.
Yes. And practically, how might that look like in the moment? Okay, you're feeling sexually stimulated because of something that you've just seen on a billboard or whatever it might be. How do you redirect that to God and to others in kind of a service aspect?
It obviously takes practice and it takes commitment, because there is that sense of, okay, I am having this feeling. Am I going to dwell with it, or am I going to perhaps get out of that situation, change my focus, and do something else? And I'm not saying, you know, you immediately have to think, oh, no, I saw something on a billboard. Let me run to the nearest church.
Yeah.
That might be a way to do it. But perhaps just saying, okay, shift my focus. I don't have to dwell on that. God help me to focus elsewhere. And, you know, it also might mean, if there is a particular trigger that happens over and over again, figuring out, okay, what do I need to avoid?
Yeah. Christine, you've been single yourself for some years now. What have you found to be personally one of the most helpful things for you to do to live as a contented single adult?
Very honestly, it was writing the book.
Ah.
Because my co-author and I spent many years complaining about being single, and finally we decided, okay, this is ridiculous. We can't waste our lives talking about our frustrations. We have to figure out a better way to channel this. So it was really sitting down and doing the research, talking to people, reading a lot of things that said, you know what? God can do something productive through us being single. Mm. And that was what really made the transformation.
Oh, and he certainly did. Well, there you go. What a great way to end. It's lovely to talk to you, Christine. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
Christine Colone, who is the co-author of this book, Singled Out, Why Celibacy Must Be Reinvented in Today's Church, as we continue our series on living successful single lives.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.